bichos. And you are listening to Northern Community Radio. We're 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, 103.9 Ely, KAXE.org. And you can tell your smart speaker to play KAXE. We connect you to Northern Minnesota. Up next, it's the World Cafe.
If you have a sibling, you know that there are things you can say to them you might never say to anyone else. Good things and bad things. And that kind of relationship is helpful for John and Lulu Dimitro, the brother-sister duo who front Pink Fuzz.
I think it's awesome to project creative ideas off of my sibling. We can be brutally honest with each other. And sometimes, you know.
Sometimes that hurts.
But overall, yeah. I think it's good.
Pink Fuzz has been building buzz in their home state of Colorado. And today, for our Sense of Place Colorado series, they'll talk about working together and about working with Alan Johannes, who's worked with Queens of the Stone Age and who mixed their upcoming album.
We just got it right away. We were wowed, dazzled when he sent us our mix back.
And the turnaround time, too. I got it like the next morning.
Pink Fuzz performing live today. I'm Raina Duras, and this is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. A student who threatened to bring a gun to Rockridge High School in Virginia and shoot his classmates will remain on supervised probation for 3 years after entering a guilty plea in the felony case. 19-year-old Elijah Kane of Eveleth was sentenced earlier this month in St. Louis County District Court. For one count of felony threats of violence, Judge Robert Friday ordered Kane to serve 83 days in jail, for which he received credit for time served. Police responded April 3rd to Rockridge High School when the assistant principal called about a lunchroom incident, which was reported by students whom Kane threatened in his statements. Kane remains under an extreme risk protection order, according to court records, and was an early example of the use of the state's new red flag law. The Grand Rapids City Council unanimously adopted a climate action plan at its meeting on Monday, over 2 years after the city declared a climate emergency. Megan Buffington spoke with City Councilor Molly McGregor about the plan.
Grand Rapids declared a climate emergency that called for the action plan in 2022. The plan was created by the city's Climate Action Advisory Committee, made up of citizens and supported by city staff. Other northern Minnesota cities with climate plans include Bemidji and Grand Marais. McGregor represented the council on the committee. She says they decided not to include anything about reducing carbon emissions, partly because of challenges in measuring them.
We did include activities that the city has done and is continuing to implement that will have that effect of reducing carbon emissions, but we decided to focus on climate resiliency.
She points to the recent alternating extremes of drought and heavy precipitation as examples of the impact on the city. Much of the plan builds on existing projects like rain gardens and solar arrays. It also sets simple, achievable goals like not idling city vehicles and supporting local waste projects. McGregor says the committee didn't want to create extra costs, especially ones that would require additional tax revenue. She wants the intentions of the plan to be clear.
And the intentions are to reduce costs, be climate resilient, and serve the community in a positive way.
Some of the first results of the plan may include solar panels returning to the library, neighborhood maintenance of rain gardens, and a new city waste contract. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
A processing facility for wild rice, the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe's only commercially produced product, is in the future. A $3.6 million grant from the Commerce Department's Economic Development Administration was awarded last month to the band. The funds will result in a 6,100-square-foot facility and are expected to create 15 jobs, according to a news release. The Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy and External Affairs, Christina Killingsworth, says the band's ability to process its own wild rice will open it to additional business opportunities. Manumen, or wild rice, is a sacred part of Ojibwe culture and a key resource for tribal members in the tribal economy. Gavin Herrera told Ag Week that the facility is expected to be built next year, with a completion date around the next harvest season. The Minnesota Department of Transportation is hosting a public meeting on Monday to discuss the Highway 2 and Highway 169 corridor study through Grand Rapids and La Prairie. The meeting will be at 5:30 p.m. at Yanmar Arena. The study includes the Highway 2 corridor from Northwest 19th Avenue to Northeast 7th Street and the Highway 169 corridor from Highway 2 to the Mississippi River. MnDOT will be evaluating existing conditions, including traffic volumes, operations, and safety, and the future, accounting for growth and anticipated development. The study will provide intersection and corridor recommendations to increase safety for all traffic and increased pedestrian and bicycle usage to and from destinations on both sides of the highways. A community survey on MnDOT's website asks for information on how the corridor functions for all users. For those unable to attend the public meeting in person, materials will be posted to the project website. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. For the last week or so, we've been exploring Colorado for our latest Sense of Place series, digging into the state's music scene. And today we continue with a performance and interview from Pink Fuzz. Originally from Boulder, Colorado, Pink Fuzz are a three-piece desert rock band fronted by siblings Lulu and John Dimitro, along with drummer Alec Doniger. And just like their name implies, they are buzzy, they're loud, and they're fun. They released their debut album in 2018, and their sophomore full-length is coming out soon. Today, you'll hear some of the songs that'll be on that album in a live performance recorded in front of an audience at Skylark Lounge in Denver, Colorado, and they'll talk about making the record with help from a desert rock hero, Alan Johannes, who's worked with Queens of the Stone Age. They begin with their song, Cycles. This is Pink Fuzz, live for the World Cafe.
Cycles. so bad, yeah, cold. Give her, bless your heart. It must be so hurt. You're so sad. You're so sad. You're so sad. You're so sad. But I know my place between the sinners and saints, and everyone wants a taste. I don't waste it. Let's play monkey in the middle. I'm not jumping for your riddle.
Recorded live for the World Cafe at Skylark Lounge in Denver, Colorado. That was Pink Fuzz with So Sad. My name is Raina Duras. This is World Cafe. Pink Fuzz are my guests. Welcome to the World
Cafe.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you.
First of all, could we go around here and just everybody say their full name and what they do in the band?
I'm Lulu Dimitro, and I play bass and I sing.
I'm John Dimitro, and I play, what do I play? I play guitar and sing.
I'm Alec Doniger, and I play drums.
John and Lulu, you guys are siblings.
Correct.
What's the age difference between the two of you?
John is just 1 year older. Well, 1 year and 1 year and like 5 months older than me.
Okay, so we're pretty close. Did you guys have complementary music tastes growing up, or were they different? Did you share music with each other?
I was obviously, as the younger sister, I was always following John's lead, I think. I remember one Christmas, John got a Beach Boys album, and like we got into the Beach Boys together, and then, you know, as John started getting into the Beatles, I got into the Beatles, and when John liked Led Zeppelin, I liked Led Zeppelin. So it's all started there.
It worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say you guys sound just like the Beach Boys.
Thank you.
Resemblance is uncanny.
Yeah.
You were teenagers when you started making music together.
Yeah.
How did that start? How did you realize you wanted to make music together and not with, you know, other people?
Well, I had been in a band prior to Lulu doing anything with the band. She's more of a classical pianist, or was at the time. And I kind of forced her to, I was like, Lulu, you got to write songs with me. You're an amazing songwriter. We could write some cool songs together. And it kind of just forced her on the bass. And
yeah, John was like, you're going to learn, you're going to be in my band. And I started playing keyboard, and then he was like, and John is a bass player to start. And so he played bass, I played keyboard. And then he was like, all right, I'm learning how to play guitar and you're learning how to play bass. So That's the start of it.
And so Lulu, you were like classically, you took
yeah,
piano lessons.
Yeah, classically trained pianist.
Up.
And Joan was as well. He just didn't play as much as he got older.
I just wanted to rock.
I wanted to rock.
Guitar and loud amp.
Do you remember what any of those early songs were about or what they were like?
I don't think we knew what they were about, but we were loud.
Yeah, we were loud. We were just trying to see, you know, what we could do. I think that it's funny. We have a lot of recordings actually of those songs. So we hear them sometimes when we're feeling nostalgic, and it's just like us shredding. And so so we've dialed that back a bit, if you can believe it. So I think it was just us kind of figuring out how to write songs. We were so young. We just
songs were like 10-minute long epics that were just never like went anywhere, you know?
One of the things that people are always curious about when there's a band with siblings in it is, you know, being siblings, especially close together in age, can already be a dramatic thing. And also being in a band can be a dramatic, like, interpersonal thing. And when you combine those two things, it could possibly be magnified. What is the dynamic like as far as being siblings in a band?
Well, we get along great. I think it's awesome to project creative ideas off of my sibling. We can be brutally honest with each other. And sometimes, you know.
Sometimes that hurts.
Sometimes that hurts. But overall, yeah. I think it's good for the creative.
I mean, with a sibling, you can be more honest than you can be with anyone.
Yeah, probably like a little bit too honest, honestly.
Yeah, and you recover from it faster. I know, like, the things I've said to my sister, worse than anything I've ever said to anyone. And then like 5 minutes later, we're like, I love you. So it's fine.
I think, you know, as when we were younger, when we started playing in bands together, it was definitely more of that. We had our dramatic moments. And now as we've matured, I think that we've really figured out how to get along with each other and work with each other.
Yeah.
So it's pretty seamless now, I think. Works well for us.
We have the occasional, you know, tussle on stage sometimes. You might see it tonight.
Watch out. Alec, I have to ask you this. Are there any unique challenges or maybe even benefits to being the only member who isn't related in this band?
Yeah, there's definitely benefits for sure. I have a twin brother and an older brother, and they're also musicians. So, and I've played in bands and stuff with my siblings, just not like rock bands. We used to play like jazz and stuff as high schoolers. So I can see where they're coming from. A lot of times I'll see the tussles in the van and I'll giggle and chuckle and laugh and think it's really great and wholesome.
Do you get involved?
I try very hard not to.
We try to get him involved.
I'm speaking to Pink Fuzz on World Cafe. John and Lulu, you had other projects before Pink Fuzz, like your band, The Bandits. Mm-hmm. Why was this the band that felt right? How did you land on Pink Fuzz?
I think that Bandits was, we were so young. It was like our teenage kind of band and then early 20s. And Pink Fuzz, I mean, it really happened right before the pandemic, or maybe I guess 2 years before the pandemic. We just really changed our sound. Like it all finally came together for us. When we finally started writing these songs together, something clicked and we were like, this is a different band than Bandits. So we need to start over.
Did you have musical sort of touchstones, like other bands that you were thinking of or, you know, styles you were kind of going for when you started, like as a vision?
Well, it was kind of all over the map, but we took a lot of inspiration from a lot of local bands that aren't around any longer. But we wanted to try to do something that was, you know, heavy, very aggressive, that will make you drive really fast, but has memorable lyrics and melodies that you can sing back. So we felt like that was kind of missing with a lot of the heavier music out there.
Pink Fuzz, live for the World Cafe.
Thank you.
In the sky, explanation going by. Just a trigger to
Performing for a live World Cafe audience at the Skylark Lounge in Denver for our World Cafe Sense of Place Colorado series. That was Pink Fuzz. I'm talking to Lulu, John, and Alec from Pink Fuzz today. The album was mixed by Alan Johannes, who has done stuff with Queens of the Stone Age, then Crooked Vultures. How did you get connected with Alan?
I actually met Alan through a previous project I was in, and we met. He was with PJ Harvey, actually, at where was it?
At the Ogden, probably.
No, it wasn't the Ogden. Fillmore.
Fillmore.
And super nice guy, and we kept in touch. And
did you just go up to him and say, like, hey, I'm
well, so
making a
the
record?
Tour manager for that tour knew him, and we actually got introduced to Alan. And we just stayed in touch, and I thought this was just right up his alley, and he knocked it out of the park. We are so honored to be able to work with him for this album.
What did he bring to the sound of the album?
It was kind of, it was kind of wild. I mean, we sent him all of our raw the raw takes from our studio sessions, and he just made it sound exactly how we wanted it, which is like never happens. I think we
did. You give him any direction, or do you just sent it back?
Not too much, really. Actually, barely any. I think we were just like, you do what you do, and he nailed it for us. And I think, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we chose him. A lot of the artists he works with are bands that we like a lot, and we like the way they sound. We like what he does for their albums, and so yeah, he just got it right away. We were wowed, dazzled when he sent us our mix back.
And the turnaround time too. I got it like the next morning.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Could you choose a Queens of the Stone Age song that you guys both really love that we can play a clip of right
that
now?
That we both really love?
Oh, I didn't know this would be a touchy subject.
It's a, well.
You might see a fight. No.
One of my favorite Queens of the Stone Age songs is probably off the album Lullabies to Paralyze, and it's called Everybody Knows You're Insane.
And I'm going to have to agree with Lulu on that, actually. We were listening to it yesterday on tour, and we were like, man, that's
a good song.
Such a good song.
Here it is. Everybody Knows You're Insane, Queens of the Stone Age off World Cafe. So that was Queens of the Stone Age, Everybody Knows You're Insane, chosen by my guests today, Pink Fuzz on the World Cafe. I want to talk about Colorado a bit. We're here for our Sense of Place Colorado series. Last year you won the On the Rise Award from the Colorado Sound, from the Colorado Sound Music Awards. For that prize, people vote on the winner out of a group of nominees. What did that mean to you to win that award, especially because it's voted on by listeners in Colorado?
I mean, we're honored. That's so cool that there's, you know, even a...
like anybody that likes us, we're like, wow, that's like, nice.
We're just so humbled that you guys are even here.
Yeah. You know? No, I was really surprised. I remember the ceremony was really cool. They didn't tell us that it would be like we would be accepting the award on stage. They're like, you're going to have to give a speech if you win. And John and I were both just like sweating bullets in the crowd. We were like, oh, what are we going to say? And like, you know,
what did you end up saying?
I think I started out the speech with, we've never won an award before, which is true. And yeah, it was very humbling, very, is very exciting for us. Yeah.
I am extra curious about that because I think you've said before that there really wasn't much of a heavy music scene, especially in Boulder, where you're from. What kind of music scene is there in Boulder?
Well, I think Boulder's changed a lot since I was a teenager. I mean, I'm kind of dating myself here, but there was a lot of ska stuff, kind of reggae. Mm-hmm. What else?
Yeah, I mean, ska and reggae was super popular when we were starting a band. I would say, you know, now I think there's a lot more happening in Boulder. There's a really cool place called the Roots Music Project, and they're bringing in lots of really good bands. Obviously, the Boulder Theater and
Fox Theater. The
Fox Theater are getting all sorts of great bands to play, and they're kind of broadening the music scene, and they have some good DIY shows there. With punk bands and rock bands. But I would say, yeah, when we were younger, it felt like we were just like surrounded by bluegrass and jam bands and ska bands. And we were like, we might need to...
What are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing here? And we decided to go on tour because we figured somewhere they might like to hear us.
Yeah, what was the reaction at home when you first started playing this kind of music?
Well, The first few shows we played, we did like at a coffee shop. I think it was in Boulder.
Yeah.
Total perfect coffee shop music.
Yeah, exactly.
I had this amp and I remember rolling it in and
everyone sitting at the tables was like, okay, let's check.
Time to leave. And Lulu had like an 8x10 refrigerator.
We had huge amps and everyone left, which is fair enough.
But we had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
We didn't care there was no one there.
Yeah.
It was good practice for us.
Yeah.
But, Boulder, back to the scene back then, there's a good DIY scene. We started doing stuff in garages and just DIY stuff where all the kids were trying to find new music. And we went over okay, I think.
You live in Denver now.
Yeah.
What makes the Denver music scene unique? What makes it special?
I think, well, I don't know if... It might not be completely unique to Denver, but I feel like we just have a lot of really good bands here. Everybody's very good. It's inspiring to go out. We were just at the Underground Music Showcase Festival that happened, I guess, I don't know, was that a week ago, 2 weeks ago? And there were so many great bands, and so many great new bands. I feel like there's a lot of support in the Denver music scene. And yeah, just pushing each other and not like a toxic way, you know? Yeah. So it feels good here.
I'm talking to Pink Fuzz in Denver, Colorado on the World Cafe. Your next song is called Coming For Me. Could you set this one up for us before we hear it?
I wrote this song about feeling older.
Like age is coming for me? Is that
age, it's coming for me and it just can't stop it.
I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't?
I'm learning something new tonight too.
Yeah. This is Coming For Me. It's Pink Fuzz live for the World Cafe.
Make friends that don't remember my name or what I do. 'Cause it's coming for me.
Pink Fuzz on World Cafe for our Sense of Place Colorado series here at the Skylark Lounge in Denver. John, Lulu, and Alec have been my guests today. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah,
thank you.
I appreciate it.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Thank you. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a session with Pink Fuzz as part of our Sense of Place Colorado series. Their new album is expected in the spring sometime of next year. There are photos, videos, and more from Colorado at worldcafe.org and on our World Cafe social media at World Cafe on Instagram, on TikTok. We are the_world_cafe. Still more to come from Colorado, so be sure to subscribe to the World Cafe podcast to keep yourself up to date. This is Jimi Hendrix. The Wind Cries Mary on World Cafe.
After all the jets are in the boxes and the clowns have all gone to bed, you can hear happiness staggering on down the street. Footprints dressed in red and the wind whispers Mary. A broom is drearily sweeping up the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping, somewhere a king has no wife. The wind, it cries, Mary.
Mandate.
That's Prince. Doves are crying. The wind is crying. Something to cheer you up and cheer you on next on World Cafe. You're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, and here is your pep talk for today, reminding you you can do it. It's Rayla Montaigne with Step Into Your Power.
If you want it, you can have it. All you gotta do, just reach out and grab it. If you want it, you can have it. All you got to do is just reach right out and grab it.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into
Now listen to me. All you need, you already own. It was given to you on the day that you were born. Anything that your heart can dream, you can make it reality.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Now listen, don't be afraid, don't be afraid to fall. It's the getting back up that's gonna make you stronger. God only made one like you, so come on baby and just do what you were born to do.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up.
Step into your power.
Step on up.
Step into your power, child.
Step on up. Hey, yeah.
Step into your power.
Oh, oh, oh.
Step into your power,
regrets. I only got blues. You say it's okay. You try new things. Well, I can lie to you, 'cause you're invited.
The Dare, you're invited. Coming up to the end of the hour here, I want to say thanks again to Pink Fuzz, the folks at the Skylark Lounge in Denver, and World Cafe senior producer Kimberly Ginott for her work on that session for Sense of Place Colorado. Also, thank you to the Wincote Foundation for their support of Sense of Place. We produce this show at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Rena Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact. And by Carnegie Corporation of New York, supporting innovations in education, democratic engagement, and the advancement of international peace and security. More information is available online at carnegie.org.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
This coming weekend, on October 20th, would have been Tom Petty's 74th birthday. Coming up this hour, you'll hear one of the many new Tom Petty covers released earlier this month on the soundtrack for the show Bad Monkey, including a cover of this. You'll also hear new music from Lady Black.